Hi, this is Kirsty Allsop.
And I'm Dr. Sam Godfrey. This is Stand Up to Cancer, the podcast. One in two of us will be diagnosed with cancer. And that's why it's important we all understand the science of cancer. As they say of all great battles, you must know your enemy before you can defeat them. Today's episode explores pancreatic cancer.
My dad was still sedated when the doctor told us what he had found, that there was a mass in his pancreas. Our first reaction was to ask, what the treatment was for that. And his answer, probably not great patient care, but just said there isn't.
Cancers arise because the mechanisms that restrain all this aberrant behaviour begin to fail. And as I say, one of the problems is we don't really yet know why that is.
We spoke a lot in the last episode about my cancer story. I have an annual ultrasound and mammogram, which my doctor tells me is a safe and acceptable treatment plan for me. The reason that's important is because detecting cancer early can save lives and the costs of cancer treatment.
But this next story brings an intense focus on why spotting cancer early can be important, particularly for some of the hardest to beat cancers. We sent our reporter Jamie Wareham to meet a young woman called Yasmin Kidwai.
And heads up, some listeners may find this story upsetting.
Hi, I'm Yasmin. We're in Ealing at my office.
Awesome. And are we on your lunch break, have we caught
yes,
you?
Yes, we are on my lunch break.
Oh, do we got to get you back
okay,
in time?
All right, I'll see the car pull up.
Okay.
I'll see his car pull up.
Yasmin did keep her beady eye out for her boss, but did find time to share her dad's cancer story. They were very close.
My dad just lost his appetite, and he was someone who loved food. He cooked every day. He stopped being interested in food at all.
What sort of stuff did he cook?
Pakistani food. My dad was Pakistani, so he cooked, and he cooked every day. So he just lost interest in food. He was very uncomfortable digestively. He was constipated. He would still make himself a plate of food. He just couldn't eat it. The want for it was still there, and the passion for it was still there. He just couldn't eat.
Yasmin's father was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer in 2008.
My dad was still sedated when the doctor told us what he had found, that there was a mass in his pancreas, which I was thinking about that yesterday. Our first reaction was to ask, what the treatment was for that. And his answer, probably not great patient care, but just said, there isn't one, there isn't a treatment, which wasn't entirely true. But we then had to tell my dad. I think he had that instinct that it was something bad, but we had to tell him when he came out of his sedation. And then it took quite a few months to actually diagnose that mass as cancer, because they have to get the cells from it for a cancer diagnosis and to start the treatment, which is it's very hard part of the body to actually get the cells from. So that took another few months.
Pancreatic cancer is so devastating because only a fifth of people diagnosed with it survive more than a year.
I think with pancreatic cancer, a lot of people don't even make diagnosis or don't live past a month or two of diagnosis, because it's a cancer that has really no symptoms until it's very advanced. So people would be completely unaware for a long time. And by the time they do get the diagnosis, a lot of the time it's too late, it's too far gone. So sort of 18 months living with it is quite a big deal.
Yasmin spoke a lot about how her friends and family rallied around them during this difficult period. But there were good times too.
Yeah, I mean, I spent a lot of time with my parents. Luckily, they weren't that far from me, because my dad moved to London for the treatment. We went to a gig together, which was really great,
at
the Royal Albert Hall, Ray LaMontagne. My dad loved his voice, and I got amazing seats for him on the side of the stage. Mm-hmm. And I was just worried about how tired he would be and how cold he was from his chemo. He was really cold. So yeah, I met him up in London, and we went to the gig together.
Trouble been dog in my soul since the day I was born.
He just loved it. He just wished that we'd brought my mum as well the whole time. He was just saying how much my mum would have loved it. But it was very special that we got to do that together. And we spent a lot of time together. You know, kind of going for meals, and after he'd have his chemo and they give him the steroids, he'd have a brief moment of being hungry. So that was so nice that he had his old appetite back. And as his illness progressed, his taste buds really, the chemo really numbed his taste buds. So he'd add all kinds of pickles and chilies to things, which drove my mom absolutely insane. She was absolutely disgusted by anything pickled in vinegar. My dad had a giant jar of things and pickles, and he'd just add more to it. But we had a lot of humor between us, so that helped us through. Because you are the best thing.
You are the best thing.
He would get cross and grumpy, and I knew that that was just his frustrations and fear manifesting. He wasn't ready to go. Yeah, and I definitely got a big sense of that. He was very brave, never complained about anything, but he was in a lot of pain. You know, and I think he was frustrated because he didn't want to be in that situation.
Yasmin's father was being considered for a trial, but unfortunately,
he was too jaundiced and it was too far along for him. But trials are the biggest hope that we have. To have a breakthrough, even in one cancer, will lead to breakthroughs in some of the hardest to treat cancers.
Now to that medical breakthrough by Australian and British researchers who've mapped the genome for pancreatic
discovery
cancer.
Will ultimately help in better diagnosis and prevention of the cancer, which is notoriously difficult to detect.
That could help give new insights into options and become a launchpad to investigate new treatments. The bottom line, a medical miracle.
Sort of as a family of someone with cancer, you know, a patient, hope is kind of what keeps you going. It'll always be so upsetting that you know, I feel like I lost him so young. I feel like he had so much more that he wanted to do in life. He had so much energy and just humour and passion for life. I know that I can't change anything that had happened. I wish my dad was still here. I wish he'd never had cancer. I just wish he hadn't had to be in so much pain and suffer so much. But I think all I can do is keep supporting cancer research and keep doing my bit to honour my dad. Hopefully it will change for other people.
Very similar to a great friend of mine's dad who died at 52.
Really?
In a matter of weeks. I mean, it's, you know, it is absolutely... It's very, very shocking for people when that happens, when someone gets... He had bowel cancer and it was treated, but basically it was too far gone, and probably by the time he finished the treatment, it was already in his liver.
As difficult as Yasmin's story is to listen to, one man striving to change that is Gerard Evan.
So my name is Gerard Evan, and I'm a professor of biochemistry at the University of Cambridge, and I've worked all my professional life in cancer research.
And little schoolboy confession here, my scientific boots got a little starstruck when we were speaking. He is awesome.
So I became interested in this cancer of unmet need, which is pancreas cancer. Now, pancreas cancer basically is a killer. We don't really have very many therapies that work even half effectively. And the ones that we do have extend life by at the most a few months. So this is a cancer which really, where the therapy and the treatment has not changed for 30, 40 years.
And just to clarify, if 100 people got pancreatic cancer, what would we expect the survival to be?
Probably 5 to 10% at the most. And we're talking months, not years. It's a fairly gloomy prospect. And as I say, one of the problems is we don't really yet know why that is.
But we do know a little about pancreatic cancer. And that knowledge is forming the basis for Gerard's research.
Pancreas is an organ that basically makes digestive enzymes, and it secretes these enzymes and it helps us digest our food. And there are many cell types within the pancreas, but most of it's made of epithelial cells. These are the cells that line the outside of bits of our body. And most of the pancreatic cancers that arise in these types of cells look pretty much the same as each other, even though they rise by random mutations and damage to DNA. So the fact that they look pretty much the same suggests that there's some common elements to the disease. And if we could identify what those are, we might be able to find a way of knocking out many pancreatic cancers in many patients, if not all patients.
Unfortunately, it's not that simple, though.
Cancers arise because the mechanisms that restrain all this aberrant behavior begin to fail. And these cells are driven believe, not that they do believe, but they act as though they're being driven to respond to an injury and to regenerate the tissue. Now, this normally happens when you damage a tissue, you get regeneration, the wound heals, and a few days later, you're back to normal. But the programs that drive that process, which involve proliferation of cells, remodeling of all the tissues, generating a blood supply and moving around and invading into other tissues to seal up the wound, those programs get hijacked by mutations. And when they're hijacked by mutations, they're just locked in the on position all the time.
So pancreatic cancer, it arises from these types of cells called epithelial cells. They're basically lining cells, like the sort of cells that are in your mouth and wrap around all your organs. And they go faulty, and that becomes pancreatic cancer. But what's unique about this is, with most cancers, say breast cancer or prostate cancer, there's all different types of genetic changes that can happen. So you end up with very, very different cancers. Two people can have wildly different cancers, even though they came in the same organ. But in pancreatic cancer, that doesn't seem to happen. The cancers seem to be incredibly similar. They're very hard to beat, but that similarity might be that cancer's downfall.
So the idea is to find out how those processes are hijacked, what those mutations are, and then specifically target those processes to knock them on the head. And if we're right, and we are right, then once we know what they are, cancers will not be this horrible, insoluble pathology and disease. They will bend to our will, and we will be able to rescue patients and cure them.
So in short,
we're making it heal itself by pulling the plug on all the things that have gone wrong, or at least the mission critical things that have gone wrong that are making these cancer cells behave abnormally.
Amazing.
What we need is the ways to keep people in the right trials and give them the right drugs at the right time. So there's a huge amount of interest in pancreatic cancer, as indeed there is in other cancers of unmet need. And a lot of that's been driven by CRUK telling people that these are cancers of unmet need and then funding it appropriately. You know, we're humans, we can do whatever we want if we put our minds to it, and we can put our minds to curing cancer, and we will.
Next week on Stand Up to Cancer, the podcast.
They're rare, they're embarrassing, they can be deadly. Cancers that people don't want to talk about or even go to the doctor to have diagnosed.
Well, I specialise in cancer of the penis, and that usually is where the conversation stops. You know, I say this a lot, but it may be rare, but it's just as fatal.
Dr. Steve Nicholson helps us lift the lid on taboo cancers. For too long, cancer's been fighting dirty. It's been targeting grannies, going after kids, and coming back for the same people over and over again, even taking cheap shots at our breasts and testicles. It's got to the point where one in two of us will be diagnosed with cancer, and that totally sucks.
Now is our time to act, to say F that. Time to use whatever means necessary, no matter how ridiculous, to lay the smackdown on cancer.
To help fund the rebellion against cancer, text AUDIO to 70404 right now to give £5, plus one standard message rate. 16 plus only, and you must have the bill payer's permission. It closes 31st of March 2017, and full T's and C's are available at sutc.org.uk/terms. 100% of your donation will go to Cancer Research UK in support of the Stand Up To Cancer campaign. Stand Up To Cancer and Stand Up To Cancer brand marks are registered trademarks or trademarks of the Entertainment Industry Foundation. Cancer Research UK is a registered charity in England and Wales, Scotland and the Isle of Man.
Stand Up To Cancer, the podcast, is an Audio Boom production produced by Karen Bevan and Jamie Wareham. Executive producers Dan Quick, Audio Boom's head of production David Marsland and global head of content Ruth Fitzsimons.